What's going to power our everyday commutes in the next decade and beyond? Where are cities headed towards as a number of mobility solutions and challenges proliferate? These are some of the big questions that we explore in Moving Cities, a podcast on the future of mobility presented to you by Eden Strategy Institute. Here at Eden Strategy Institute, we collaborate with the world's most successful organizations to sustain their growth through business system innovation. In Moving Cities, we'll take you along the journeys of innovators, experts, and veterans in the smart cities and urban mobility space, as they have tested, led, and experimented with new mobility initiatives in their cities. Today on Moving Cities, we'll be learning from IBM's automotive practice. Joining us in this episode is Ben Stanley, who is the Global Automotive, Aerospace, and Defense Research Lead at IBM's Institute for Business Value. Ben brings over 40 years of experience in the mobility industry. He currently leads the research, development, and deployment of thought leadership for IBM Automotive across the globe. In fact, Ben has just completed a study called Automotive 2030, Racing Toward a Digital Future. Based on a survey of 11,000 consumers and 1,500 executives, the report explored the digital reinvention and requirements of automotive companies in the next 10 years. Ben, it's wonderful to have you here on Moving Cities today. Let's first talk about car manufacturers' understanding of the future. Do automotive manufacturers have a clear understanding of what they need to do to be prepared for the future of mobility? And is this in line with what IBM thinks they should be doing or investing their time in?
Based on the requirements of the future, in terms of the fact that there'll be multiple mobility service models, traditional car sales will be declining, how do auto companies manage all of this, all these autonomous mobility as a service vehicles that might be on the road someday? So the whole hypothesis is, do automotive companies need to become high-tech companies? Do they really need to digitally reinvent themselves so that they are able to deliver the digital technologies and capabilities that consumers want and that their employees want and need in order to be successful in 10 years and beyond? And even to the point, do they need to maybe look at divesting or bringing in partners to do some of their traditional things like vehicle production to focus more on how are they going to really be at the front end with digital technologies? And the answer we got back was, you know, 50% of the companies said yes. They realize they have to digitally reinvent their companies, and they have an urgency to do that. Over 40% said we need to do it as quickly as possible. Now, in terms of what are the business models that they're going to go after? You know, is it some stay in traditional sales? Are they going to be mobility service providers? Are some going to be continue to be producers of cars, and that's their role, is just to create really good fleet cars for mobility as a service? You know, that's still undecided. And that's where their challenge is they're still trying to figure out their strategy. They're doing a lot of partnering, they're doing a lot of piloting and trying things out. And this is kind of a different approach that they need to do because, you know, auto companies are traditionally very slow, multi-year introduction of new products and services, and they're having to change the way they work into a more agile, test things out, try them, see if they work, throw away the stuff that doesn't work, try something new. I mean, they have to really become more of an agile, almost be able to operate like a startup company where they can quickly deliver services instead of having to have these long development cycles that they've had in the past. So, you know, they're having to change the way they work.
How do you help car manufacturers adopt more innovative working styles that we typically see among startups?
We have our own solution. It's called the Garage Factory model. It's called IBM Garage. We started using it in automotive several years ago. What that is a methodology that uses design thinking capabilities to bring all of the interested stakeholders and parties together to quickly come up with new ideas. And then it's using agile processes to create business cases around those minimum viable products, test them out in a startup kind of mode, and then if they look like they're promising, then be able to scale up. I mean, we've been doing that with multiple companies to create the in-vehicle experience better because, you know, as we move to a mobility as a service autonomous scenario, there's no focus on driving. And auto companies, their focus right now, the way they market, the way they sell, the way they talk to clients, to consumers, it's all around the driving features. But someday those driving features aren't important if you're in an autonomous car. I mean, as long as it's safe, it's an acceptable ride, that's not an important factor. And so we're working with companies like VW and others, even in a co-creation environment. So this is another aspect of being able to do this stuff quickly. We sit with their designers and engineers and others to quickly bring our expertise to fill skill gaps that they might have and quickly create these types of things. So it's a new way to work. It's a different way to work than what auto companies would have traditionally done, where, you know, the auto industry for a long time was a very closed industry. You know, they felt that they knew everything, and for anybody a non-traditional to come in and bring new ideas, you know, it had to be in this very structured, rigid OEM supplier relationship, going through purchasing, all this kind of stuff, and they're changing. They know they can't do that in the future, so they're becoming more flexible. They're working with partners. They're leveraging platforms to be able to bring business partners together and capabilities. And this is something that IBM is participating in with them.
Since car manufacturers have to transition from their traditional individual mindset towards a more collaborative style of working, how can they actually ensure that their collaborations are successful? And what are some of the key success factors that drive this?
Well, obviously you have to have a platform that can allow companies to quickly engage and disengage based on the value they bring, you know, the way they partner, things like that. You have to have this platform. And again, in the past, when the industry was very closed, they had a very rigid structure, really hard to get into, because again, it was mainly around the parts that went into the vehicle. So it was a physical, you know, it was more of a physical requirement. You had to have design lead times and all this kind of stuff. But when we get into the software world, when we get into creating services and apps and delivering other capabilities, digital capabilities through the vehicle, this is a much quicker life cycle. It has to happen a lot faster, especially even going through the internet and the web, and we got IoT devices and sensors and data and all this kind of stuff. You just can't have rigid requirements to engage, you know, companies that could bring new value. So one of the things is they've had to change the way they do business and have a platform that they can quickly bring companies in, start working with them, bring new value in a very short period of time. You know, the other thing is the innovation in products. But we're talking about different types of innovation now. Strategy innovation, we're talking about industry innovation. Auto companies, now that they have this data and other stuff, they can start looking at opportunities in other industries. Enterprise innovation, what's the role of the company going to be? Is it going to be more digital focused and maybe have others do some of the back end stuff? Or are they going to continue to build cars and let others do the front end? So they have to look at what their own business model is. So being able to have innovation across multiple aspects, not just the product itself, is important. And then one of the other questions we asked about is, you know, having this entrepreneurial spirit, really being able to have the ability to try new things out of the box, you know, not just sticking with the traditional, is it going to help us sell more cars, but looking at some of these other things. What can we do with data? How can we create new services and capabilities based on what the vehicle delivers that might help other industries out? What are different business models we can get into? Having the entrepreneurial spirit, their employees, so that they do come up with these things and they do take chances and they're not penalized by trying these things out. And companies are going down different routes and really have to think differently and have these types of capabilities in the future to be successful.
There are so many new technologies in the market right now. So how do we actually help automotive companies evaluate and separate them into the must-haves and perhaps what might be more irrelevant or less important to them right now?
The first thing is, what do people want? So in our research, we uncover some of the things that people want, and then that is information that we take to clients and then create use case scenarios. What are the different use cases? If you have some information on what people want and what are the possible use cases on how it could be applied, then you can have a better evaluation of what technologies are then needed to do that.
From your experience, what's your sensing about the automotive companies? Are they generally willing and able to change? Or are there difficulties to overcome, such as people's conservative mindsets or organizational legacy systems?
The answer is yes to everything. It's a global industry. Obviously, there's some that are going to stick with what they do because maybe they're in a niche or something that they feel they can continue to be successful. And there's others that are, you know, exploring some quite different things. I think in general, the industry is aware. When we ask what's influencing the industry, what are the external influencers? Technology and customer expectations were the top ones today and in 10 years. Those two things are the highest influencers of what we need to do in the industry. But two that are growing very fast are personal mobility and the sharing economy. So they recognize that, you know, we're moving to this world where people are willing to use mobility services. They're looking for different experiences when they're in the vehicle, and that's really what's going to separate the brands. It comes down to the experience people have while they're in the car. And if you can have this digital experience, much like you have with your phone, you know, your smart device, where you enjoy the experience. The experience is the same when you get in from one car to another within the same brand. It's able to learn about you and build a profile about you that can help optimize your experience. That's what's going to create loyalty so that as our mobility services capabilities get more sophisticated, where you can not only pick the platform provider like a Uber, but you can also pick the brand of car you want, then people are going to more and more pick a brand based on that experience they have in the vehicle and the fact that it can be consistent from one car to another in that brand. And that's, you know, that all comes down to the experience. It comes down to the car being able to integrate with their other devices. It comes down to the car being able to learn about the people in the car itself, their willingness to share personal information, to be able to have this personalized experience, and even to the point where the car can start having a conversation with the person so that they're not trying to figure out how to use things. The vehicle itself can guide them through that, through having a natural conversation, and that's going to help a lot of people who are afraid of technology and will be afraid of using some of these things. So they recognize it, and they're working to do that. The ones that want to control, the ones that want to be able to have that loyalty with their customers.
What are the major challenges that you foresee for automotive manufacturers? Is it the deployment of technology, the customer's acceptance of this new experience, or something else?
I mean, the technology is there today, but it's not, in a lot of cases, mature. How will they manage and deploy the software that's in their vehicles that are running around by themselves? Again, thinking of fleets, autonomous fleets of mobility services. You know, if something comes up, there's a problem with a vehicle, can the company do a software download? How do they make sure it's done at the right time? How are they managing millions of cars driving around? And this is probably a little bit beyond 10 years from now, but they're gonna get to that point where they have to manage all of these fleets of cars, all of their cars. They have to manage all of the maintenance, repair, whether it's software or whatever. And again, that's without somebody being in the vehicle. So that's going to be a huge challenge. And then, you know, updates, all those types of things have to happen. And then on the flip side, consumer acceptance. I mean, that's one thing that we study with our consumer survey, and we actually break consumers down into four areas based on their use of digital technologies like smartphones and things like that, based on the types of capabilities they want the car to have, the different mobility services they want to have, and the different ways they're willing to move around beyond the personal car. We break them down into four categories through some analysis that we do. So you have a group of pace setters. They're the leaders. They're the ones that are willing to test things out, and they know some things might go wrong. Now, we can't have the autonomous car itself driving wrong, but the other in-vehicle experiences. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, which we call the spectators, who are the people who don't want to have anything to do with any of this new stuff. They still want their own car. They're not digital users. They don't want to use different services. So understanding these segments and being able to target the right segment when they're introducing new capabilities, and you know, is going to be important. We also look at urban versus rural, because people in cities are more apt to want to use some of these things than people out in the countryside. So it's really important to find the right people that can be the advocates of their capabilities based on their willingness to try these types of things, and not going after people that are not willing at all. So the segmentation is going to be an important aspect. And you can really, again, the thought of the brand, I mean, we can really imagine that someday there could be multiple brands associated with a vehicle. There could be the physical brand that's associated with the type of car it is, and there could be the digital brand. It could even be a different brand name or something. Maybe they want to change, but you might be in a mid-type car, but you have a premium digital experience or something like that. Or maybe you don't want that much stuff. But again, through software and having the car have the cognitive capabilities to help a person along, they could pick a lower-end digital experience and then add capabilities over time as they get more comfortable with the vehicle. I mean, it's going to be about this ability to bring people in into their adoption based on a personalized experience.
If you could give one piece of advice to decision makers in the public sector, especially those who might be tuning into moving cities today, what is the one thing you would tell them to help them plan for their future of mobility?
It's got to be a collaborative effort with all the stakeholders, whether it's the mobility service platforms, whether it's the auto companies, it's the government. I mean, as they're planning for the future, they have to have this collaborative effort with all the stakeholders to make sure that what they're planning is doable and in the time frame. Some of these things just can't happen without the others. If you think in terms of autonomous cars, sure, they can do a lot with sensors and cameras on the car, but there's just some things that they can't do, and they need the infrastructure to be able to provide some of that capability. I'll give you an example. I'm in Michigan here. If we're in a snowstorm, there's no way an autonomous car is going to see the road. They may sense the other cars, but they're not going to see. And so you need to have communication capabilities with streetlights and infrastructure and other things to be able to really function. Otherwise, they grind to a halt and you have to wait until the snowstorm's done. So there has to be this collaboration between all of the parties. This is going to be a challenge.
Now, we see a lot of different visions for the future of mobility, which are put forward by experts across all fields. Which version do you think will actually be realized, or is most likely to be realized?
The thing is, there's not one vision that satisfies everything. I mean, that's unfortunately a trap that I think a lot of people get into, is they say it's only going to be this way, and it's not going to be these other ways. Our belief is that there's going to be many models that people follow. And actually, one of the things that I asked in the study was to the consumers is their primary way to move around today and in the next 10 years. Personal car versus ride share, ride hailing, you know, mobility type modes versus public transportation, and then other. And other was bicycles, walking, things like that. We actually saw growth in the other category. But that doesn't necessarily threaten the other thing. People might walk a little more. There's going to be high-tech solutions that move people around, and there's going to be simple solutions, especially as, again, more of these bike sharing. And that helps alleviate traffic maybe, and it helps people get healthier and things like that. So, you know, we're not advocating that there's only one way. We're actually advocating there's this integration of multiple ways. If you wanted to ride the bicycle, the car would know where the nearest bicycle stands are, and it would let you out there, and it would automatically reserve the bike so that you can just get on and go. You know, I mean, we're talking about this integration of multiple ways to move around. But again, digital technologies are going to be the things that really make that happen. Streamlining the payment, the scheduling the service, keeping track of your information that you're allowing it to, and personalizing that service. Those are all things that will help people have an experience that will allow them to do these different things. Because now today, you can't do some of this stuff because you may not know where some of these things are.
And who do you think is the stakeholder that is in the best position to provide this whole seamless experience that you've just described, from bookings to payments to the actual journey? Would it be a car manufacturer or a mobility solutions company like Uber?
It could. It could be both. Again, the auto companies are trying to do it. Companies like Uber, they're doing it too. I can ride on a train and it says, here's the cars that are available at your stop. Again, there won't be one. There'll be a mixture. And I know there's certain companies, auto companies, that are looking beyond their particular brand of cars to create this greater mobility experience. And not only connecting the ways you move around, but also connecting to the rest of your life, having the vehicle monitor your health, because you might have a health condition that you want to know, am I starting to have a heart attack? You know, we have people that have heart attacks and crash into the cars, and we're trying to eliminate that. But now that's going to require collaboration with the health industry, because if somebody has a problem, you can take that information, you can send it to the hospital, they can advise there. When the first responders come, the ambulance, you can have that information to them already so they know what your vitals are and things like that. So there's some amazing possibilities that can happen and experiences that can happen, and these will be the things that people will gravitate towards. And the thing is, no one can provide all of that. You know, an Uber can't provide the information that the car is collecting. The car can't provide maybe some of the information that an Uber or somebody has. So I don't have any predictions. It's going to be interesting.
Thank you so much, Ben, for taking the time to share these rich insights with us here on Moving Cities today. I'm sure that the listeners are very grateful and walked away with amazing things to learn from your many years of experience in mobility. I think two personal takeaways for me are, firstly, that collaboration is essential. No single company can achieve any of this alone. And I hope that's something that Moving Cities listeners can take away into their different operating contexts and organizations. The second is that digital technologies, while sexy and exciting, they're really an enabler for a lot of the seamless journeys that we've described earlier. And I think thinking of them that way can help us to be more discerning about what we choose to invest in and not to. So thanks so much, Ben. You've been listening to Moving Cities, a podcast on smart cities and the future of mobility, brought to you by Eden Strategy Institute. Do subscribe to Moving Cities on your chosen podcast listening platform as we dive deeper into the big questions about all things mobility in the city. We'd love to hear what you thought about this week's episode, so don't forget to rate and review Moving Cities. You can also join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/Eden Strategy Institute. Thanks for coming along this journey with us. Till next time.